from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Hammer, KC is kind of on the outs right now. Like maybe this just isn't it for San Francisco and Brandon Ayuk, and this thing is going to come to a pass without him being a 49er. What do you think about this never ending seemingly contract situation with Ayuk and the 49ers?
Yeah, I definitely think we've reached a new point where it looked like, you know, he's in camp. They're gonna figure things out here. And now anytime Matt Maiocco goes out and says something like, hey, they might shop him, they might send him somewhere, you know, there's possibilities. Mm-hmm. That's usually a strong indication that Matt's been told something. Now, again, I think that could just be another part of this negotiation process. Mm-hmm. Because this negotiation process, I think, really... like the 49ers probably should have ponied up a little bit more early on. And then when the contract started to go berserk, they probably should have jumped in before it got out of control. And now it's like they're holding out for whatever reason, acting like, well, they have all the leverage. And they sort of do have a little bit of leverage here, but like Ayuk can sit out until like what, week 8 or week 9, and then come back and get a couple of seasons in, I mean, get a couple of games in. And then if he's not feeling up to it or whatever, he could sit and watch from the sidelines last couple of games and then go into next offseason. And if they want to franchise tag him, that's fine.
Yeah, this scenario doesn't benefit anybody at all.
Oh, no, no.
That's a disaster of a scenario if anyone goes that route, the 49ers or Brandon Ayuk.
Well, no, I think it's a disaster for the 49ers, for sure. For Ayuk, I don't know, man. You're asking a guy to go out there and just get clobbered week in and week out, 17-game schedule, and hopefully 4 more games after that. Like, you're asking a lot of him, and to have him go into a season without any financial security... that's outside of the 1 year, that's tough.
That's his decision.
Well, it's his decision, but it's also the team's decision. I mean, there's a going rate for wide receivers right now, and like you can't just say, well, 12 of them got a certain amount of dollar, but you're not going to, and make up some excuse why. Like this is negotiations for sure, but like, look, at the end of the day, if they have to franchise tag him next year, then he's going to get what, the same pay as the top 4? Wide receivers in the league for a year, and then he can walk walk at that point. And
yeah, but then it becomes the average and a half.
Yeah, it doesn't
make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except if you're Kirk Cousins. Then if you're Kirk Cousins, it makes perfect sense, and you're the all-time bag getter of decent quarter. Was he the 10th? Did I hear that right? Kirk Cousins was the 10th highest rated Madden rating quarterback.
I didn't see it.
I think he was 10th. I think Purdy was 9th.
That sounds right, because he was on that list of the graphic they released.
Yeah, he was 10th, and I think Jalen was 8th, and that's kind of where I
he was exceptional before he got hurt. Kirk Cousins last season, Now, their team wasn't good, but he was really good, like statistically speaking.
Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. Like, he always has been. Yeah. He's just not a flashy quarterback. Like, he hasn't, you know, won a lot in the postseason either, which I think affects the way he's covered. But he's a good quarterback.
Yeah. Yep. No, I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's the highest paid quarterback in the league type quarterback. And I wouldn't even put him in the top 10 in most scenarios, unless I'm drafting fantasy football and I know he's going to be healthy. And he certainly has running backs and all kinds of wide receivers and tight ends there in Atlanta. But at the same time, I wouldn't have put him in the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. But that doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback and he's not a starting level quarterback. But yeah, I wouldn't have spent that much money on him.
He had like five straight years of guaranteed money. He didn't get it the same way Deshaun got it, right. But he got franchise, and then a 3-year guaranteed deal from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where do you guys stand on the idea that the 49ers can't just give him what he wants because people are watching? Like, you can't necessarily, and maybe they already did it with Nick Bosa or whatever. I don't know what Bosa was necessarily asking and what he got, but like, there's a thought. I don't know if I subscribe to it or not, but there's a thought that if you just give Brandon Ayuk the $30 million or whatever the case may be, that what's to stop anybody from holding out and getting what they want?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, look at what Bosa got last year, and he held out. If that was the case, then you shouldn't have given Bosa the most money any defensive player has ever gotten.
But at the same time, it's like tears and stuff. You're not Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not him. He can do that.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the case. But at the same time, like, look, this is the way the system works. Like, you got to play by the rules, whatever they are. And for me, like, look, at a certain point, if I'm the Niners, I've got to just say, okay, what is a drop dead number? Like, what is it? Because if we can't touch the drop dead number for you guys, then we're going to shop you now. And you're done with us. This is the last call, and we're done. And we're going to go find somewhere else for you to play. And we're going to go find some other player that fits our system, and we're going to move on from you. And if that's what you want, that's fine. We'll give you our drop dead number. You give us yours. If they're nowhere near each other and we can't negotiate anymore, then it's time to move on. And like, that's kind of where you have to be if you're the 49ers at this point. Like, this is risking bamboozling your entire season. Like, if you're going into the season without your number two wide receiver, your number one wide receiver, your best like catching wide receiver, then that could be a total nightmare for this team. I you know, how many times do we see last year they try to hit a secondary, a third, fourth, fifth wide receiver on a crucial third down that went sideways? Like, you can't go through this season if you're not going to have Ayuk. You probably should have known that a while ago, but you also probably should have started already looking for deals for other wide receivers that would make more sense for you.
That's a good point. Do you think this caught the 49ers off guard a little bit?
Maybe a little bit. I said last week, though, they'll tell you what they're thinking by how they draft. They're planning for the future when they got pressure on the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think maybe when they talked about future, they thought maybe a Debo replacement as opposed to an Ayuk replacement. But
maybe that's where the 49ers feel like they're good. It's fine. We'll keep Debo now. We thought we were going to lose Debo, but we could lose you instead.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I'd got to go about it. It's like, and I'd at least want to see what these guys look like in training camp and in some preseason games. And, you know, you got to hope that those guys look awful.
Yeah, I've heard like time and time again that the 49ers have all the leverage and all that. And I don't agree. Like, the 49ers as a franchise are the ones with a 36-year-old left tackle and a tight end that's getting older and a Debo Samuels its contract that jumps and Brock Purdy's contract that's going to jump. They're the ones who have a window. Like, Brandon Ayuk's career is another 8 years, 10 years, like whatever it is. Like, there's one person in this group with a window, and it's the team that can see this thing close pretty quickly, especially with McCaffrey's advancing age. There's a lot to like riding on this season, on next season. And so I get holding out and trying to get as much money as possible. And again, it's something that Kyle Shanahan said himself, like, I hope that all of my players get as much money as they possibly can. You know, that's kind of the deal here. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, you need to be realistic if you're Brandon Ayuk and say, okay, like, is it worth fighting over $1 or $2 million a year? Is the gap, you know, is it a couple of million here and there? Or is it like they're offering $35 million in guaranteed money and, you know, Ayuk's side wants $100 million in guaranteed money, and there's no way to come to some sort of middle ground here. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to wonder. Like, what is the holdup? It can't just be like the $30 million, because you can make it look like someone's going to make $30 million really easy in the NFL and not pay him anywhere near that, and, you know, have it all incentive based or non-guaranteed money, and it's nowhere near that.
Right.
One of the obvious speculations, Hammer, is that they're, you know, bracing themselves for what Brock Purdy's contract will look like, and you have a host of other players that are really important to your team.
I was just chuckling because, fun fact, you know who has the most cap room in the NFL right now?
The Rams, because they don't have a cap?
Well, there's that. I mean, they're excluded. Oh, they've been okay. The Rams. Okay. They have draft picks and unlimited cap, but the 49ers.
It's probably because of that quarterback spot, I would think.
Right,
right. Or and at least that's a – well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's no one else starting a final draft pick quarterback at their starting position.
And I see that, and it doesn't even matter. I think the number, they're like $55 million under the cap. That's like, yeah, that's exactly what Brock Purdy's going to end
up. Yeah, that money's accounted for, pal.
So they're under the cap, but they're really not.
Yeah, and how you navigate all of this, and that's what we were talking about, Ham, is like the 49ers are trying to navigate all of this, and we wondered, looking at some of the deals that the Kings have made, and you look at the DeMar DeRozan deal with, you know, essentially 2 years and then a third, you know, at a partial guarantee, however that may play out, that the Kings are kind of doing the same thing. They're looking at what their salary cap is going to look like in a couple of years, when I'm sure they expect De'Aaron Fox to sign a monster contract extension. And then by that point, Keegan Murray will be going into his rookie extension, and you'll be dealing with an entirely different set of finances after that.
No, I mean, that's what you have to, especially at the NBA level, you have to be cognizant of all of this stuff. It's very difficult to navigate the salary cap, short term and long term. But saying that, if, like, this is, Kyle and I got in this discussion earlier on the Insiders, like, look,
it's a good show.
If you're going to have like a Trent Williams window, and you're going to have a McCaffrey window, like, it's very similar to having a DeMar DeRozan window. Mm. Like, you opened a window of where you can be highly successful. And what you can't do is open that window, but then not like put the assets in place to support that window properly, which, again, part of the reason why you go out and you give a Trent Williams and you give McCaffrey and you give Kittle all this money is so you have a really, really good team. But if you can't put Ayuk in that bucket as well, who's younger than all of them, then I don't know what you're doing. Like, it's tough. It's almost like if the Kings got in this situation next summer and then we're like, hey, we're just not going to be able to pay you a whole lot of money, Keegan. So hope you're okay with a rookie scale extension at 4 years and $60 million. Is that okay? Because if not, we can't pay the other dudes that we paid. And we got that Fox extension coming up, and we're going to need to do that. And so, sorry. So hopefully you'll take less. And so it just puts everybody in a weird situation, especially when it's one of the younger guys. This is – Ayuk is the guy you should be building around.
But if Keegan – in that example, if Keegan was like, you see what's my man's name? Why am I drawing a blank? From the Knicks. They used to be on Toronto. OG.
OG.
If Keegan was like, you see what OG got? Look at my numbers. They're just as good. I need his money. What would the Kings say?
Well, because of the NBA salary cap, they can only give him a certain dollar amount, right? So that's a third contract for OG. But yeah, not a second.
Work with me though. But I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like if he came out and said, oh, look what Kay Cunningham got. I want that. I'm like, all right, man. Like if we do that, then we're a second apron team and then we can't, that's what the Kings would say in that situation.
Well, I think it's interesting too because at this point we don't know the value.
I'd say you want to go to Detroit. I can get you to Detroit.
Yeah,
you can go make all this money you want to in Detroit, pal.
Yeah,
sorry, James.
Yeah, we talked about that today too. Just that the dead money in Monty Williams. Oh. Just like, and then now they're paying JB Bickerstaff
5 years worth of dead money. That is insane. That
is crazy. Is it five or is it six? Is whatever, crazy. Whatever it is, like that's it's a crazy. Lot.
What was and it? Then, was the deal 6 years and he coached one?
Oh, you're right. It was a 6 year. What 74 Whoa. Million?
Woo!
Shout out, so, Monty.
But the whole point though with the Brandon Ayuk situation is like reportedly or whatever. Like he thinks he's Justin Jefferson and should be making that money. And the Niners are like, well, the Niners probably could go up a little bit. Come on, man. I can't give you Justin Jefferson money. You're not him. You know what I mean?
No, but you have to act like you're Justin Jefferson. I mean, that's the game. Like, you have to have your people out there telling everybody, well, look at the stats. Look at the stats. You know?
Well, all right. At what point do you stop acting and do something to get on the field?
Well, I don't know because I'll give you the response. Week one is where Bosa showed up and got all the monies.
You're not Nick Bosa.
So you set the...
It's simple as that. You're not Nick Bosa.
No, but you set the standard with how you're going to handle your dudes. And you're talking about Bosa finish. Like, even if we're looking at ranking systems, right? Ayuk is still top, 30-something? Like, in the NBA? In the NFL players?
Yeah, he won Defensive Player of the Year. You didn't win Offensive Player of the Year, so no, we're not talking about Bosa. For... Like if Juwan Jennings wanted to talk that, you'd have that talk. But
yeah,
like was he even an All Pro? Was Ayuk All Pro?
All Pro? I can't imagine that he was.
He's a Pro Bowler.
Bosa wasn't All Pro, right?
Yeah,
I don't think Bosa was an All Pro.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this last year he wasn't. No. Yeah. It's tough. It's like the dynamics are really, really difficult. But again, you are almost looking at like the two timeline thing, and you have an aging timeline, and Ayuk's not in that timeline. He's Brock Purdy's dude. He's the guy that you should be locking up to have him play catch with Brock Purdy for the next 5 to 7 years.
You know you do this every year.
What?
You turn heel on the player in the contract negotiation.
When they try to play hardball, we got to play hardball.
Did he turn on Nick Bosa? He turned on Nick Bosa, didn't he?
What I said with Nick
Sounds
Bosa.
Right.
No, I didn't turn on him. But what I said was he wanted Aaron Donald money. And I was like, all right, well, Aaron Donald, he didn't take us to the promised land. He didn't take us to the promised land.
I remember that.
Let's turn it on Nick Bosa.
No, we're just pointing things out.
Yeah.
When you talk about the type of money you want, all right, well, you want that money. Now we can compare what's going on here.
We don't have to call it like Kenny turning on anyone or whatever, but Kenny, when we do play these games or whatever, he does take the side of the front office for some reason.
Every time. Yeah. Every time.
So he's not on the player side. We can just call it that.
No, he's corporate Caraway, that's for sure.
Every time he's always John Lynch in this scenario.
Yeah, he's corporate Caraway 10 times out of 10.
Emiliano in the chat said Ayuk was second team All Pro in 2023-24.
He's a baller.
Just saying.
It's the truth.
Just saying. That means what you're a top four wide receiver in the NFL.
He's the truth.
Yeah.
So, once again, you ask me to pay you like a top four wide receiver. I ain't got that kind of money. I'm just telling you what it is. I can't spend $30 million, $31, $32 million on a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Do we think that's true, that they don't have the money to pay him $30 million?
They have it, but somebody else would have to go, right? Like if we give you 31, 32, then...
Next year, someone has to go.
Yeah, we got to get rid of Moody Ward. You know what I mean? We got to get rid of... they've cut costs a number of different places with like having rookies and
Eric Armstead's
like that.
Jacksonville.
They've cut costs as much as they can. So now you're talking about a guy like Moody Ward or Kittle or, Greenlaw or something like that. I don't even know if Greenlaw would be on the chopping block, but That, yeah, we can give you $31 million.
I think he's expiring.
But somebody, sure, somebody that we deem and everybody deems just as valuable would have to go. Including Debo, who we already said was going to go if we gave you money. So Debo and somebody else.
I think it's interesting, like, listening back to the Kyle Shanahan interview with Tim Kawakami. Like, there's so many nuggets that they talk about in this whole thing. Like, about, you know, how difficult it is to pay people, how they don't, you know, it's a player's, you know, right to go get as much money as possible, but also how they short other positions to take care of these positions. So, you know, we complain all the time. Like, me and Kyle both are all over the fact that the 49ers offensive line, number one, they have no long-term solution for Trent Williams, but that seems like the smallest piece to all of this. They don't have, like, frontline starters at any other position. And like Shanahan talked about, is like very specific. Like, I can't have like an expensive offensive line because I have expensive running back and expensive tight end and expensive fullback and expensive one and two wide receivers, expensive cornerback and expensive middle linebacker and expensive defensive end. Like, all of these things matter in the end. And so it's not easy, but I just don't think it's Ayuk that you sort of stop spending on. You know, it's going to be Debo for sure. But then after that, like, you're going to have to make some tough decisions down the line. I would just rather make those tough decisions with a 26-year-old under contract than a 31-year-old under contract.
Would you keep Ayuk if it meant losing Moody Ward?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, no, sit on the fence there, pal.
I mean,
Know, there's a quote, because since you mentioned him earlier, your boy, is there, can Matt come on this show, Mayoko, or this station?
I don't know.
Why not?
Is he might be getting,
yeah.
We'll have to check into the business of radio.
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't be.
Yeah, we might have to check in on that. But he was talking to a radio station in San Francisco. He was talking to KNBR. I think Brandon is having a difficult time figuring out exactly what he wants. I think he requested the trade without really wanting it to go through. He just wanted to increase the pressure on the 49ers. I, you know, Matt Maiocco, as you both pointed out, is reporting on this is top notch. Because of, you know, the people that he's close to. That's a tough look for Brandon Ayuk, though. Like, if he doesn't have an end game in mind, he's in a really bad place. Because you use a wrestling analogy. I don't know how you kick out on 2.5 on this. Like, if you don't have a plan in place, you're either going to take a deal that's going to upset you, or the 49ers are going to trade you wherever they want.
Right.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they don't, he has no leverage right now. Once the season starts, and if they aren't winning or if they're not getting the productivity out of their wide receivers, then he's the one who has all the power again. And like I said, he can come back late in the season. He can play, you know, he can get put on the list and then eventually come back and then, you know, maybe play a handful of games down the stretch, and that will fulfill his requirement for this year's contract. And like, I know that doesn't sound great for anybody, but at the same time, like, I don't blame a player fully for why they would do something like that.
Okay, because, but what if they do? Like, what if they start off 6-1, offense averaging 30 a game?
Then maybe he comes back.
What you coming back for? The price has gone down.
Well,
you should have thought about that before. Price has gone down.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. He's just coming back to get his year of eligibility.
You're inactive.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. That's actually the best case scenario for Brandon Ayuk. I don't think you thought this through. You just handed him a golden, hey, go ahead, don't get hurt this year and negotiate your contract next year.
Yeah. I just say this isn't how this should go, but this is, in all honesty, this is what the 49ers do. So if you're Ayuk and you're his team, you got to play their game. This is the game that they have established with all of their star level players, and in the end, they pay them all. Mm. So, like, I don't know how this one's going to work out, but this certainly feels like the next step.
It does.
This is the next step. It's going to get done.
This deal's going to get done.
In all honesty, man, like we have a lot of fun with
it. It's going to be like 29.2 or something, like just ridiculous.
I do feel like there's room for them to work together here. You know, maybe the Niners got to give a little bit. Maybe Brandon Ayuk got to give a little bit. But it seems like there should be room for everybody to realize what's at stake, and come together and make a deal that works for everybody. It doesn't feel like the 49ers should have to win, or the Ayuk camp should have to win. Like, they should be able to come together, and especially when it doesn't feel like, at least from what I'm hearing and reading, they're not that far apart. It's not like the Niners are trying to give him 13 mil and he's asking for 30. Like, it feels like they're like, when you talk about the annual money, they're like $4 or $5 million apart. Like, I don't know. It just feels like they should be able to come together and figure that out.
It's crazy. Nick Wagman.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Right. Wagner. Sorry. Nick Wagner came on and talked to Kyle and I about this a couple of weeks ago. And he told us that the crazy thing is when we hear the guaranteed money, that whatever that guaranteed dollar figure is, if it's $162 million or if it's $72 million, the team has to put that in an escrow account. Whatever guaranteed money there is, they have to take that out of their bank account and go put it in another bank account. That's an escrow account for that deal. And to me, that's crazy that actually happens, where they have to take these large sums of money and just put it aside. It's almost like, you know, a casino has to have like a certain amount of money in the vault at all times. And that's what NFL teams have to do. So it's always possible the Niners just like drag this out, 'cause they're like, hey, I just don't want to put the money in the bank. Mm. Like, we'll put the money in the bank eventually, but as of right now, that 70 something million bucks it's raising a whole lot of money on its own. It's doing some good work. Maybe not today. Like, today is not a good day to have your money in the stock market or whatever, but like over the long haul, it might be something as simple as that, where they're like, okay, what are we doing? Let's not put the money into the last minute. Let's negotiate this thing out. But I just don't like what happened last year with Bosa, and I don't want that to be the same thing that happens with Ayuk. I thought the Bosa situation was a nightmare, and I don't think he looked right the entire season. And it just feels like the Niners just keep going down this exact same path.
I feel like that's exactly what's happening. Might not be the last day, but I feel like, I think Brandon Ayuk's deal with the San Francisco 49ers gets done. That's ultimately how I feel.
Ask me tomorrow.
Huh?
Ask me tomorrow.
Yeah, your mind will change
today.
Every
no,
day.
Today it ain't happening.
Okay. All right. And Kenny's turned on him, and Brandon Ayuk isn't even that good. He's Roddy White at best.
Roddy White was really
point.
Good.
Well, until he wasn't. And that was your whole point. We'll come back. We'll figure out a way to start a conversation with James about the Sacramento Kings when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Oh, my God. James, we're back on the radio, but just let that play. I have not seen this. It's called the Dead Loop. Oh, dear God. This is insane. Oh, goodness gracious.
You can't do that. You can't do that. I'm
Wait
glad
for the dismount.
It.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm glad they outlawed it. I mean, she gets perfect 10s, but...
That was the... I
want to see that again.
I think I saw that circulating a little while ago.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, you can't do that.
That is absolutely... I don't know if my stomach hurts more or my back or...
You can do that.
That's crazy.
Oh, I would just snap in half. Like, one of those moves.
Hey, well, like, you didn't... You thought your arm might fall off. When you threw out the first pitch, and from our vantage point, you threw a perfect strike,
delivered a strike,
and the crowd went wild.
Yeah, it was a good. I was a little outside from like
no,
straight
that's
on.
Not what it looked like. It looked like a perfect pitch, and that's what I would tell everybody.
I'm calling that a strike. Like oh boy, when that Braves Marlins playoff game.
Oh,
all right, all right.
I did. I was surrounded by Marvel superheroes. It was very awkward. Like, I had Spider-Man over to my side, like doing like a Spider-Man pose. And there was a poor dude out there in a, why am I drawing a blank? One of the giant costumes. And it was, you know, it was like 106 degrees out there. It was hot to start. Iron Man. He was in an Iron Man costume. Mm. And it was like at 6:15, he's out on the field, and it had to be still like well over 100. And I don't know how he was still standing.
Well,
it was too hot.
Spider-Man must have joined you after being with us out at the Walmart, because Spider-Man was with us too.
Spider-Man was everywhere,
and that guy must have been hot. I said salute, buddy. Hey, great job today. Because I know you lost about 15 pounds doing this.
Spidey was out there, man, doing his thing. Didn't complain once, didn't flinch.
No, yep. He did not. He did not. But congratulations on the insiders throwing out the first pitch over the course of the last couple of weeks. You guys been on the air for 2 minutes, and D'Lo and Casey have never thrown out the first pitch in 4 years. No, but that's fine. No, it's not hurtful. It's not hurtful. It's fine, James. It doesn't. No, like, why? Why would you think I'd be upset? I'm just kidding. All right. So we didn't work out any. We didn't work out all of the issues with Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know what King's question to throw your way. I don't know how to segue to the Sacramento Kings. There's always a few weeks where I don't think we've talked about the Kings at all today.
No.
And that doesn't happen very often. Normally, we can fake some form of conversation.
Right.
We're just about that point where there's nothing left to fake.
Nothing left to fake.
We just need camp to get here. We need something with this team to happen. We need them all on the floor together.
I think the Kings and the NBA is just waiting for the Olympics to be over.
For the schedule?
Schedule, yeah. Schedule release. That's my guess.
Yeah, it's usually like another week, right?
Yeah, I'm about to look it 14th, up right now, matter of fact.
Around then, I think the 14th is when we've got it in the past.
Well, they probably also have to, and I could be wrong, they're navigating a lawsuit.
What's the lawsuit?
Well, yeah, but that's after, though.
Nobody's doing
that. Oh, that's right. No, that's right. That's right, James. James is right. I actually wasn't sure about that. I had to look that up today. So, TNT... is in fact suing the NBA, or they're still in the threatening stage?
Oh, I think that they've they're filing lawsuits.
It's just it's just amazing to me that the NBA was like, okay, pal, go ahead, file that suit. We'll see you in court, and just like announce their deal anyway.
Well, it doesn't matter if they announce it. Like, they could get an injunction. Again, we're talking about a year from now. The holdup isn't over the scheduling for this year, because that all kicks in after this season, the new television stuff. So they've got time to sit here and work through the litigation of this whole situation. And, like, look, at the end of the day, it really is just it going on one platform versus another. And so if it's not, you know, if the lawsuit does at the last second, say NBC or not NBC, if like Amazon loses out to TNT, then, you know, then it'll just go on a different platform out of nowhere, and they'll figure everything out on the fly.
We've always speculated. I mean, a guy like Adam Silver, an attorney himself, is not going through all of this and announcing and all this other stuff if he didn't think he was going to be able to get the job done, as far as getting whatever he wants and whatever he agreed upon to with the new media rights partners. Do you think it's that simple, or does TNT really have a shot to overturn some of this?
Well, I mean, it's a $72 billion deal, right? So I think over 11 years, I think that you're going to sit there and close the deal and worry about that stuff when it actually happens. Like, there's a way to negotiate your way through that. I don't think, you know, like, maybe giving TNT some sort of way to get in the door here. There's also, you know, a way to, you know, just like bowl them over with attorneys and just sort of bury it. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, it's more complicated than what you and I are, you know, what we're talking about here, where it's like, hey, you know, they're offering this, this, and this. It's much more complicated than that, because really the rights of first refusal, it will come down to what did the original contract say, and what is the rights of first refusal based on, and if they can match, and then it can get like really complicated, because it doesn't matter if they're saying, well, they're offering this, this, and this, this many people and all that stuff, that might not come into play at all. It might not matter at all about the reach of Amazon versus the reach of a TNT. It realistically could come down to the letter of the contract. And for that matter, it could come down, it could be a boilerplate, like something that a contract that's been used, you know, thousands of times over the course of history to get television deals done. And now a contract from 7 or 8 years ago or 10 years ago might look very different than it does today because of these streaming options. And you might not be able to hold someone like strictly accountable to a contract, or to say you can't match because of this XYZ. It's like, well, that's not in the old contract. So, you know, it's a lot more complicated than just declaring victory over somebody. And, you know, it's like, it's your Michael Scott, I declare bankruptcy moment. That's what both the NBA and TNT both did.
James, you can't just declare bankruptcy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I flubbed the line. It's like, you know, you just can't say you have bankruptcy and all your troubles go away. Well, yeah. I didn't say I have bankruptcy. I declared it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Jesse knows.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what the league episode? And TNT no, bro, did on social you're not. Media. You're it's not. Good stuff.
Do you think there's a time where... Do you think we're headed towards a world where, like, regional sports networks like NBC Sports California, like, they no longer exist, and we're not watching Kings games on NBC Sports California anymore? We're watching the Kings through some either over the air channel, like a ABC, CBS, you know, locally, or an app through the NBA.
Yeah, I don't think it's going backwards to like a standard channel. I don't think that's going to happen. Like, you know, the A's were on channel 36 for years, or channel 31, like it moved around, or the Kings used to be on 10 and 31 at different times,
still
right?
The one. Yep.
I don't think that's ever going to happen, something like that. But I do think that the age of the RSN, the Regional Sports Network, is coming to a close pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. It's just incredibly difficult to run that big of a television station that you need, but not have all the other programming and not be able to afford the other programming. Because when I started with NBC, like, we had Sportsnet Central, right? Every day we had our own version of ESPN that was hyper, you know, local, but also delved into the major topics that are happening in the sports world, but we're also sort of hyper local and focused on the teams that they covered. Like,
but that doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No, that's my point.
Oh,
like, you had to kill that, and you had to keep continuously killing all of these other things. And then it used to be, you know, like, the Ronco guy would pay a huge amount to have his infomercial put on your station during the day when you don't have replays.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the streaming like world now, I don't think that happens at all either. So
let's show Morgan touring Arco Arena again.
Yes. So it's just like, whatever programming that they've paid for, that they have, that they've built in house, they keep playing it. And that's not a way to draw in new users and new people to watch. And so I don't know. I don't think it's good. Plus, you know, we already saw a whole bunch of these, the RSNs, with the Bally Sports RSNs, like, they just haven't been bought by anyone. Like, it went into bankruptcy and they're sitting there. And I think that's who it is, the Bally Sports ones. And someone like NBC can't go in and buy up all the RSNs because they would own too many, and then they would have a monopoly. And that's not allowed through, you know, the government to own too many of them. So yeah, it's going to get really complicated. But I think in the end, what should be big fish of, you know, like NBC Sports Bay Area, they're becoming smaller and smaller fish. And whether that equates to them sticking around long term or not, I don't know. But it's not going to be easy, especially, like, look at how much programming, if the A's move and they move to Las Vegas, you just lost like 162 games a year on your station, and all of those pregame shows and all of those postgame shows, they're just gone. You don't have a way to replace them. When you lose the Raiders and they go somewhere else, you didn't have the game, but you had pregames and postgame shows and all that stuff. All of that's gone. So it's tough.
I know it's probably a lot more difficult to just do, but I think the Kings should have been off of that station. I think they, and I don't know, I'll ask you guys, do you think they could do like with the Lakers or the Yankees or those teams and have a network?
No, I don't. But I always thought with the way Vivek thinks and forward thinks, I thought he might be more like the Clippers. Mm. I thought Clipper Vision could be King's Kingdom or something. Like, I always thought, like, at some point, I think Vivek is going to find a way to house all of this himself. Of course, NBC Sports California, like, pays for this. I just don't understand how, like, I don't know. I go to NBC Sports California for one thing.
That's it.
And the normally, the point of programming is to, we joke all of the time, coming up, Silk Stockings. Like, I know what shows came on after Raw because I was watching Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. I probably saw an episode or two of Silk Stockings, especially once I figured out what it was about. I saw a bunch of them. Pacific Blue, like, oh, La Femme Nikita, all of that stuff. All right, Kings wrap up here. They win 122-110. Good night.
Yeah.
And then it goes to a blank screen.
And then, it goes to Morgan's interview with Domantas Sabonis. Well, if you missed it the first 67 times it aired, you can catch it again.
You know what it goes to. So you get that maybe once, but then it goes to like kickboxing.
I've never been around long enough for it to go to kickboxing.
It's always like kickboxing, sumo wrestling. That, like, they have some stuff that goes on, and then the game comes back on at 12. But it feels like if I was playing,
I legit had no idea that happened.
Yeah, every time, every single time. But like, you could, it feels like, and I don't know if this is profitable or as profitable, way, way less than what they do now. But you create a station or something like that, and hell, you might have greatest Kings games. More Morgan Torn Arco Arena.
Oh, good.
That comes on for a little while.
Miss Arco.
From 10 to 4, the Insiders, and then D'Lo and KC live on your station. Then you got maybe whatever podcast you want to put there. Then it's time for game night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like you could do that and it'd be relatively affordable.
You're going to have to pay me.
Well, definitely going to have to pay me. Yeah, okay. I'm Brandon Ayuk in this joint.
So I'll explain
$30 million.
a little bit of the complexities of television. So first of all, the Kings were one of the last teams to have their own television, right? So like Kings TV, Craig Amazin, they produced their own broadcast for years and years, even way later than almost any team in the league. Then they handed it off to NBC Sports and initially is Comcast and then NBC Sports. But when they signed the big deal for like when they're building the arena and all that stuff, the whole new television deal, it was for like, it's like a 20-year deal at like between $30 and $35 million a year. So it's a gigantic deal. But what happened was in that deal, the Kings used to, like when they would go on one of the local TV stations, they would split the commercial revenue. So they would each have like buckets that they could sell commercials from. And then if one side didn't have enough commercials sold, they could always buy some from the other one and they'd go back and forth. When the Kings went from like $11 or $12 million a year in their television deal to the deal they signed with NBC, they sold NBC all of the commercial television rights. So that they basically cashed out their commercial revenue in exchange for like upfront money or for guaranteed money, which ends up being brilliant because who knew at that point even that all of our world would change with streaming like 100% and that televisions would become less and less valuable. But that's kind of where we are. Like on television, you know, commercials have become less valuable every step of the way. I mean, when you got to pay an extra $2 a month and you don't have to watch commercials. Like, so there's all of these ways in which the TV money has shifted and now they were making X amount of money and now they're not making X amount of money. And
but that doesn't apply to live television though, no? Like, because if NBC Sports California is airing on YouTube, the same version of NBC Sports California that's on Comcast, for example, is on YouTube Live, right?
Well, it is, but the commercials are different.
Yeah.
Like, okay. If you watch the commercials on two different, that's why all of a sudden you're sitting here watching a Kings game, it goes to commercial, but it's like the Amazon picture and like...
No,
like
it's the two prop videos. It's the two prop commercials for don't vote for sports gambling and vote for sports gambling. Those aired back to back an entire season.
Yeah,
so basically, but like if you're watching on a like Comcast, right? If you're watching off a Comcast cable box, you see different commercials than some of the different commercials than all of the other streaming services. So if you're watching a YouTube or you're watching on name that streaming source, DirecTV or whoever, it's all different, right?
Some of them are targeted. I don't think some of them. I think they're all targeted. I think they know if James Hamm was looking for a Honda Pilot, he's going to get served Honda ads during the Kings game on the streaming.
Listening.
On streaming.
Oh, yeah.
TV's running through the station. Streaming is running through some like psycho system that watches everything that we do.
Stop sending me.
Well, that and it's highly targeted because they can't have it go outside of the 90 mile an hour.
Right.
I mean the 90 mile window that excludes the Bay Area. Mm. Yeah.
I think Uncle V and the Kings could. I don't know, maybe do their own network, but I think they could get close.
I think they could do the Clipper Vision thing.
Clipper Vision is just the games?
No, I think it doesn't have all of the shoulder, like not 24 hours of shoulder programming, but don't they have what's essentially a League Pass version of the game, right? Where it's just the in-arena thing,
right,
and then
right.
I think it airs some form of their broadcast.
Right, right. So like for the games, he could have multiple different broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But when the game's over, nothing. I don't know.
You'd have to have your own television station, basically.
Yeah.
Well, bring on D'Lo and KC.
That's what I'm saying. I just laid it out. 10-4 is covered already.
Yeah.
Just laid it out.
I don't know why no one listens to us, man. We've literally,
it's an interesting idea.
We solve half of the world's problems. If people would just listen to us.
It's just that check that keeps coming in every year for 30-something million that
well, that could play a part in it.
That they're concerned with. Now, again, if you can work the television revenue a different way, if you can get the commercials to cover whatever it is you're doing, then sure. Like, I think it is possible.
This may, the Yankees, the Lakers, they can do that because their brands are so big.
Yeah, they sell. Yeah. They can, like, because like DirecTV or whoever, YouTube, whoever, pays to have the Yes Network mm-hmm. on their system. Mm-hmm. But the rub to that is they pay to have the Yes Network, but the game will be blocked out.
Yeah, and all the classic games too. It's such a crock
it's whack. Still the Yankees. So people in California who will watch that and obviously networks feel like, oh, people in California will watch it. Mm-hmm. We'll pay whatever the broadcast fee is to have that on our channel lineup. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they'll just watch the shoulder programming. Mm-hmm. And then
which is usually radio. It's a radio broadcast. It's like Boomer Esiason, and then what was his name, Francesca? They'd be on.
Oh,
the
yeah. Network. Well, that's not going to convince me to watch that channel. Well, that's probably cheap program. Like putting, I mean, as much as we're trying to put ourselves over here, there's a reason you see that a lot. Like putting radio shows on television, it's cheap programming for those stations.
I think it works.
Like you pay those guys a nominal fee, and if any, and keep it moving.
I think Gary Radnich was like one of the first that you ever saw doing that. Yeah, the Gary Radnich show and playing in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Like at, you know, for years, you'd see him like in a booth, like. Mm-hmm. Like what we do, just different.
How does DeMar DeRozan affect the regional sports network deal? That's really what everyone is here yeah. for. Like, how does the regional sports network model help Kevin Herter have a better season?
We could have used that regional sports network in like King's Vision to broadcast Drew League games that DeMar was playing in.
Oh yeah,
because DeMar went crazy over the weekend.
What do you go 45 this weekend?
Yeah, 45.
Yeah, he had a good time.
He's a bucket for life.
He really is. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Bucket
yeah.
for life.
I'm going to need him to be the next guy who just beats the crap out of Father Time.
It's please.
Like, no, I got this, man. Please. He's waving Father Time off. Get out of here, bro. I got this.
Yeah. No, if he can, you know, make it the full 3 years and then maybe a year or two after that, if things are going well, like, man, it would, who knows?
38? That 38-year-old DeMar DeRozan.
Crazy. Yeah.
35, 36, 37.
Do your thing, man. Come on now. Man.
Hey.
There's nothing that we've seen that shows that he, like, wouldn't be capable of doing that.
Right.
Like, absolutely nothing. Like, he is and the Kings have dropped some really cool videos with DeMar mm-hmm. recently that if you're not following them across their platforms, I'm sure everybody listening to this is. They've done some great work to hype up the Kings acquisition of DeMar DeRozan. So now we just sit here and wait.
That's it.
We sit That's here it. And wait. We watch people apparently die at the Olympics. There's been no update on that woman after she crossed the finish line and looked like the Popeyes lady. and now we're watching these games trying to get to the opening
tomorrow.
Of the season.
Tomorrow, don't we have men's or is it Wednesday?
It's tomorrow. Men's
tomorrow,
basketball.
What time? Is it 8 a.m. or is it?
Well, you're
asking
a lot of questions. What are you, the police? I don't know. Stand by. Let me see. I'm sure Ramsey's
hope it's
already
during our show.
Oh man, please let it be during our show. Men's basketball. Yeah, buddy. 12:30.
Let's go.
12:30 versus is that Brazil?
Yeah.
12:30 versus Brazil.
Oh man, we're gonna be live right here. D'Lo and KC.
Watch along, baby. Watch along with D'Lo and KC.
Are the other games tomorrow?
Wait a minute. Oh,
France
the women
Canada play in the morning. Ooh.
And the women play on Wednesday at 12:30.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So
France,
we cook
Canada at 9 a.m.
We cooking this week. Yeah. And I'm gonna need the USA to get that Friday 12 o'clock game and not the Friday 8:30 game.
Yeah. Facts.
Because that'll be the semis, right?
Yep. Yeah, because everything ends up.
There's three games left. Yeah, these are the quarterfinals that are about to start. All right. We cooking. We off and running. I think Jesse said the show is over. Yeah, we got to go. Thanks so much for being with us. We will see you tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Agantes.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Nerd Wallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. Nerd Wallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.